Everyone, welcome to Ending the Drought, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. This is Season 2, Episode 17, and here are your hosts, Jake Cranston and Jeff Webster.
Jake.
What's going on, Jeff?
How be ya?
Back from the turkey break.
Turkey break. I've had many, many turkey last few days.
Some gravy on top of the turkey?
Today, biscuit, gravy.
You getting to the point where you're sick of it all yet?
I kind of cleared all mine out already.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a little bit of dark meat left, a little bit of stuffing, but yeah, I'm pretty much done.
I got some mashed potatoes left, but those are good, though. Do you ever take a mashed potatoes, put them in a frying pan, kind of just sear them a little bit so they get a little like crispy? If you haven't done that, seriously, 100% do that.
I didn't even know you could fry mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Like, it's so watery, you'd think you wouldn't be able to.
Because they're cold, and you get a nice clump. Just get them in a pan. Both sides, for a few minutes, and you get like.
Do you kind of flatten it like a pancake, or do you kind of like leave it like a ball?
You kind of flatten them like a pancake, but just leave a little hump on them, and you just get like a nice golden crisp to them, and it's freaking bellissimo.
I usually just take cheddar cheese and melt it in there, or like some sour cream and some chives.
Yeah.
When I get bored.
Yeah, I mean.
That's what about good you? Too. Anything special? You basic fish potato guy.
Potato, gravy,
potatoes,
salt. Pepper. That's it.
Potatoes.
I like how you have the saltiest gravy in the universe and you add salt.
I add salt. I actually only have gravy and potatoes so I can have salt.
Yeah. It's like
if I could eat salt with a spoon, I'd probably do it.
You actually put like table salt on your potatoes and then you go and put kosher salt on top of your table salt.
Right.
I get it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a good talk about a little bit of Turkey Town there.
Turkey Time.
So how about night game we had,
That was good. That was good. That was exactly what they needed to do, and it wasn't always the prettiest, but it was effective. Definitely a team that's down its, number one running back and starting quarterback and all that stuff. Yeah, they should beat them, and they should beat them handily, and they did, and it sets up really nicely for the next game, which is going to be big.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly an upside game. It was more of a the only way is down. But luckily, they did well, and we don't have to really worry about that.
Right.
They played well. I like the fact that we were well-balanced in this game.
Yes.
We ran the ball. We did it fairly effectively. We got Breida involved. Moss was a healthy scratch, which some people out there might have been like kind of scratching their head, maybe like, why? But I think a lot of people are starting to realize that maybe Singletary and Moss are a little too similar in what they do on the field. And having Breida in there gives you kind of a 1-2 punch, so to speak, a different type of, running style.
Right.
And I think it worked pretty effective. They got both guys involved. Singletary was running hard.
Made stuff happen. That part surprised me a little bit. He definitely seemed to run with more, I guess call it intensity or
it's not
anger.
Whatever. It's not unusual, I think. I mean, he's probably a little bit threatened right now with Breida kind of taking the reins away.
Well,
he's
got to
step it up a little bit.
I think that has added some pressure, and that may be part of the formula, too. But with that kind of speed, it's really effective outside the tackles, which we've been talking about. Mm. It's not that it can't be effective between the tackles, and I think he actually was more effective between the tackles and outside. But that speed, that part offers up a different part of the game. Opens up a part of the playbook you wouldn't ordinarily maybe go to because really Isaiah McKenzie can beat guys on the outside really effectively, but they're also watching for that. I mean,
right.
We've used it enough that it's become somewhat obvious at some point that's going to be a part of our game plan. So,
I
think it was great. I liked it.
I usually am not very good at predicting things. As you'll find out later when we talk about our predictive scores for the game, I'm not good at it. But I did take Matt Breida in both fantasy leagues after he did good a couple weeks ago.
There you go.
And I played him. 13.5 points. It was a good choice.
For a guy that hasn't really had an opportunity to excel this year, that's good.
Yeah, they kind of pushed him to the front real fast.
Yeah. And that may continue, man.
Yeah, they brought him on this year for a reason. And everybody thought they brought him on for the same reason, because of the speed he provides, the different type of, momentum he can bring to a game for you with that game breaking speed and get him outside of the tackles. And they didn't really use him much the first, four or five weeks. I don't even think they. Well,
I don't think.
I don't think they touched him.
Yeah, they didn't even touch him. I'm trying to remember
maybe
the first
six games or something like that.
Yeah,
definitely within the last two or three.
But
he started to play a little bit, and that might have been, you know, learning a new playbook, getting acclimated with the offensive line, quarterback, the whole thing. Just, you know, it always seems to be that way. You know, AJ Klein, if you remember when the Bills brought in AJ Klein, he didn't play a whole bunch early in the season, but in the second half, he really started to shine. And they've done that with a number of players, you know.
Yeah.
So I think they like having guys that at least you don't have to worry about them turning the wrong way or you know, missing a handoff because they're not on the same page with a quarterback.
Right, right. And I'm, you know, thinking in my head, maybe they brought Breida in to obviously back up our guys, but maybe in their head they're thinking, you know, we can bring him in situationally, a guy that can hit the edges, but not kind of like a, you know, a main focus type of back. And they I think they wanted to give, you know, Moss and Singletary every opportunity
right.
to prove, you know, to everyone that these were the two starting backs in our team. And they, you know, and it's not all their fault.
No.
You know, our offensive line's been, you know, hurt and guys out with COVID and just, you know, the run blocking scheme hasn't been great. But then you bring a guy in like Breida that just gives you a little bit of a momentum change and it starts to open up, you know, the coach's eyes, the fans' right. eyes, and obviously the opposing team has to pay attention to that. So, you know, Scratch
Speed
and Moss.
Kills, man.
Yeah. Scratch yeah. and Moss definitely made, you know, made kind of a point to, hey, you know.
Right. And like you said, Singletary was running hard. Like, I know Cal Brandt was on One Bills Live today, and he was talking about the fact that he was in the mix for angry runs this week, you know?
Oh, okay.
So that goes to tell you that that's not something they've talked about in any week prior to this, was that part of Devin Singletary. So, like, you brought it up. I mean, it maybe had an impact. Maybe that was part of the plan. Maybe, again, we don't get to know what's happening with Isaiah McKenzie. I can't believe they would literally bench a fairly talented guy because of one fumble, albeit crazy costly fumble. I do understand that. And it coincided with Marquis Stevenson getting healthy, coming back. But I really can't imagine that's a permanent change. I really don't believe that.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to scratch him entirely every type of game, but you know, I don't think it was just the one fumble. I mean, he's had some issues holding on to the ball this year. He's fumbled in a few instances. But they weren't using him a lot either in the right. offensive scheme, which I, you know, we all talked about that. We thought he would be a guy that would be running sweeps and getting to the edges, you know, some jailbreak screens, things like that.
Yep.
But they haven't really used him in that sense. So I don't know if it's, you know, the team or the coach trying to send them a little bit of a message, you know, saying step up your game. You know, we right. have other guys that can replace you. Or if it's merely just, you know, Stevenson, they wanted to give him a shot because they knew what he could do, you know, from college and then
right.
preseason. Who knows? It's hard to say. But
right.
I think you know, it's good to give Stevenson the shot, you know, to see what he can do. He obviously hasn't played a lot, so he's going to be a little raw for a bit. But, yeah, I mean, I like McKenzie. I like the element he can bring to the Bills. But, yeah, if you become a liability, I think that really is what's going to hurt you in the long term.
So. Right. And that's something that we talked about is, you know, doing something real instead of just talking about how we need to get better. And maybe that's one of those changes that they just saw something that was an easy fix, a quick switch you can just flip
right.
on. And try it for a game and see how it goes. I mean,
yeah,
it's obvious that there's something that isn't clicking here and there. I'm
correct.
Sure they're willing to try stuff while
correct.
They can.
And it might have been that opportunity, this game, they may have saw an opportunity to give him some game action because down the road, injuries happen. You don't know when he may be the only return guy.
And we're running out of season, so it's not like they're going to try this towards the end.
Right, and we're going to the playoffs. You know what I mean? And we're going to attempt to make a deep run. So the more guys you have on board that can perform in real live game action, the better off you're going to be. So they gave Stevenson an opportunity. He performed well. We'll see what happens this week. This week's a huge game. So they may want the experience of, you know, that Isaiah McKenzie brings back in the lineup.
Yeah, and we have a few things on this team this week that are good. It looks like Spencer Brown's going to be back on offense,
which is awesome.
It looks like that Feliciano could be back at the guard position.
Shot for sure.
It also looks like Starr's going to be back at D tackle.
That's huge.
But the biggest loss, let's talk about for a second, is losing Trey White for the season.
Yeah. Best wishes, bud.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
It's a very tough one.
To lose a Pro Bowl corner and one of the leaders of your team, a leader of your defense, a guy that statistically was shutting down every matchup he had this year, it's going to be a tough shoe to fill. So the defense is going to have to really rally and step up to fill that void somewhat.
Oh, now, sure.
I mean, Dane Jackson was a guy a lot of people really, really liked in the preseason. Really liked him. Thought that he was going to win the opposite side of Trey White. And, you know, he became too inconsistent and he struggled, which, I mean, the guy was a 7th-round pick. I mean, what can you expect out of him fully? I mean, he has flashes of looking good, right?
Right.
But he's still a 7th-round pick. He's still a guy that needs time to develop. So fingers crossed that he can come into this game. And, I mean, the Patriots are going to attack the kid.
Oh, sure.
They're going to go after
whoever
him.
It is that plays where Trey White was is definitely going to be a target. And I really, really think that the Bills are going to focus on bringing pressure. You know, with Starr back, I think it's going to help in the run game. And they've been running the ball very well. So that's something they got to account for. But you're still playing defense against a rookie quarterback, no matter how well he's doing, no matter how well Bill Belichick draws it up. Pressure is going to be your friend when you've got weaknesses in the defensive backfield. That's how you get interceptions. That's how you get takeaways, is just keep him under pressure.
You got to do what you can to make the kid uncomfortable. Even if you can't get to him and sack him a bunch of times, you got to get hurries, pressures, get in his face, make him make a, you got to, hopefully he makes a bad decision and throws, you know, a bad pass, a tip ball for a pick, what have you. But he's been pretty spot on. And the thing that Belichick really does with the kid is he gets the ball out of his hand fast.
A
couple reads and the ball is out. You know, if he does the same thing he did with Tom Brady, in a sense where you got these guys that are just quick, you know, 5-yard ins or, you know, little crossers. He utilizes his tight ends very well.
Right. Which is where our linebackers are going to have to be spot on. I know Hunter Henry primarily. They do use him quite a bit. But, yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty much the opposite of Josh Allen. We sort of put the ball in his hands and rely on him to make a miracle happen. Can't really do that with a, you know, rookie quarterback like that.
No, it's tough, man. And, like, where do we go to take away – like, what is their strength on offense? You know what I mean? Like, what do the Bills do to take away? Because if you look at the KC game, for instance – we took away Kelsey. We took away Tyreek Hill. We knew they couldn't run the ball on us. That wasn't a strength of theirs.
Right.
Once we took away those two guys and kept everything in front of us, that was kind of where we need to focus and get some pressure on Mahomes.
And it's speed.
A game like this is, what do you expect from him? Are we going to focus on, you think, trying to stop the run? Are we going to maybe run that indie package where we're having a lot of DNs just rush passers?
I think that's going to be part of it. They're going to ask a lot of Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano in this game.
Mm-hmm.
I think our safeties are probably going to have to help with tight ends.
Yeah.
Maybe even running backs out of the backfield. Their wide receiver group is decent, but these are not, you know, elite wide receivers. They're not. They're good wide receivers.
Yeah, they're solid.
Reasonable.
Right.
But they're not elite. So
correct.
You can take the ball away. You can possibly jump routes and stuff. It's a rookie, so keep him confused, I guess, would be a big one.
Different looks by our safeties.
And then 100%. Epinesa and Rousseau's speed, you know, and strength.
Right.
Try to get in the backfield.
Right.
You know, they may.
I would take away the short option altogether if we can.
Right.
Try to force them to throw a long ball or, you know, make a rash decision.
Yeah.
It's like you said, it's football 101, man. If you can't get to the quarterback, get up, Get your hands up, jump in the air, disrupt them, make them uncomfortable, do whatever you got to do. And they have the team to do it. You know, our defensive stats are not built just out of our defensive backfield. It's a lot of those pressures. I remember seeing something a week or two ago about how the Bills were really ranked extremely high in pressure rate, even though they're not getting the sacks. Mm-hmm. They're still making guys uncomfortable, which is what helps our backfield do what they got to do. So,
yeah, 100%.
It's big.
It is big. Yeah, our two safeties, I think, really are key guys to this game defensively, because when you get the type of safeties that we have against a rookie quarterback, giving them, you know, a lot of different looks back there, you know, they're hiding coverages, playing up in the box, they do a lot of different things good.
Right.
You know, and hopefully we can disguise some coverages where Mac Jones thinks he has a spot to throw it. You know, yeah. Jordan Poyer, this guy needs to go to the Pro Bowl this year, man.
Actually, both of them.
He just has to.
Yeah, Poyer's really, really playing top notch.
Top notch. I mean, he's tied for fourth in the NFL in interceptions right now. So. Right,
beyond the fact that he helps so much in the run game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He has a lot of tackles, too. So, but that might be one of those things where they're trying to do some sort of a hybrid single safety, you know, over the top, so they have that extra guy. Because these, I would take my chances on A, stopping the run, and trying to convince Mac Jones to throw it down the field.
You got him to throw it down the field.
Yeah, yeah. If you can take away the short stuff, pressure guys at the line, knock them off their routes, do whatever you can to disrupt that offense and make it not what he's used to seeing. Because he's had decent protection. I mean, like, actually really good protection.
Yeah, he's had excellent.
So they
protection.
Do need to break that.
That one thing that just scares me just a little bit, though, maybe more than a little bit, maybe quite a bit, is our game plan, I think, had to change a bunch after Trey White got hurt, because I think he was going to be a press coverage guy. Like, I think, in my opinion, and I'm going with you too, Jeff, like, you got to get up in their routes. You got to disrupt them.
Play at the line.
Mac Jones is a huge timing guy.
Right.
He's not he's a rhythm time guy. He's not like he's not anywhere as close to what Josh is.
Right.
Where Josh can improvise and get out of the pocket and move. Mac Jones is, if it's not there, he's either throwing the ball away or you're sacking the guy.
Yeah, he's basically an AI program for Belichick to place on the field. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is.
Oh, yeah.
You just have to follow the plan.
100%. And that's what he is. He is the epitome of a systematical quarterback.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Yep.
So,
and a decent one. So yeah. far.
There's a reason Belichick picked him up. He knew he didn't have the chance to train anyone up like Josh.
Yeah.
He probably never will. Never again.
I can't see it. You know,
unless the NFL, he falls into it like he did the last time.
Yeah. Yeah. The league really messed up letting the Patriots draft him. You know? But yeah, I don't know.
But did they let him? They really let him? I don't think they did.
Yeah. It just seemed too, I mean, we watched so much draft stuff before the draft happens. And every single mock draft out there, Mac Jones was going to the Pats.
Yep.
It just, that's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, that was the only for sure thing I think anybody really, really saw that was going to happen.
Does it make you wonder, like, if they had drafted Sam Darnold?
Right.
If he could have been the exact same quarterback?
I cannot see that.
I think almost
that.
Anybody could. Like, you know what I mean? Like, or at least as much as Mac Jones is.
Well, you wouldn't want Lamar Jackson. I think it would drive Bill Belichick nuts.
No. Yeah.
But, yeah, anybody who's willing to stand in the pocket, take an occasional hit, but just throw to the open guy. Yeah, here's your job. Find the open guy and throw him the ball. That's it. Doesn't matter if it's 5 yards, 6 yards, 10 yards, you know.
Right.
But not don't throw it 40 yards down the field.
And what concerns me more than anything is you have a guy who has been doing this long enough to know how to take advantage of our losses.
Right.
So we lose Trey White. Like you said, they're obviously going to hit that spot hard. But beyond that, he probably knows exactly what that's going to do to our team, what we're going to have to do to adjust, where we're going to fall short, how to manipulate that.
Yeah, it's a chess match.
It's the worst possible matchup we could have after losing him right away.
That's tough.
We don't have time to recover from it.
No, not at all. We don't. And it just so happens that he gets hurt. I mean, arguably the biggest game we've had in a long time. I mean, the AFC Championship game obviously was huge. Playoffs last year was huge.
But this season.
Just this. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, this year for sure. Because playing New England last year was big.
Yeah.
then we smoked them. So,
but this year it just it really means more than
for sure
than it ever has really.
You know what I mean? The total outcome of the season.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we haven't had a division game mean this much, like you said, to the total outcome of the season since 20 years ago.
I mean, the crazy part is I could see, like, I think this week I've seen power rankings where basically New England's the best team in the AFC, right. In the AFC. But I could just see this easily going exactly the opposite way, where the Bills are back to the number one team in the AFC and the MVP talk and the Super Bowls with a resounding win mm-hmm. on Monday night.
It's all on the line. And it's a morale thing. It's everything.
Yep. Chips are all in.
We are 3-0 in our division, correct?
Correct.
Let's make it 4-0. We have to.
We have to. Yeah. And
I agree.
If our team doesn't come to play in this game, then you should not be playing football.
Right.
These guys, they cannot come out and be playing flat.
Yeah, it can't be an effort. Yeah, this isn't, no.
Not, yeah, it can't be one of those games.
Not no. Monday night, not in your home stadium, not against the Patriots, not when the game or the season matters this much.
Right.
And,
I agree.
And it's got to, this week, that has to be beaten into these guys.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I don't know about you guys, but I feel like we'll see it right away. If they're going to play that kind of a game where they're reserved and playing it safe, it's usually in the first few plays you can tell they're doing that.
It's funny because Kyle Brandt literally said that today. He said the exact same thing. He said, I don't think you'll have to wait a half, a quarter. If you want to know how the game's going to go, you'll probably know on the first play.
Yep.
You know,
100%.
I mean, so... Yeah.
It's kind of sad how much we telegraph our performance. You know what I mean?
It is.
That's the worst part. And I think that's the best thing about having Matt Breida is that it gives us the option to get out of those, you know, roots where we're just stuck.
Right. Well, that's where a lot of the names that you don't hear often have that opportunity. You know, like Dane Jackson could turn this game around with a timely interception, and now we can stop talking about the loss of Trey White or Greg Rousseau with a tipped pass, the intercepts, or... You know, everybody's got an opportunity. Matt Milano, I've been waiting for him to get another turnover takeaway for the last few games because he's everywhere. He's wherever the ball is. He's very opportunistic. I really think he's got a real good chance of taking the ball away this week. I mean, I really do. I think our linebackers are going to be huge, man. They're the middle of the defense. So they're, like you said, he's not going to air it out. It's going to be a lot of quick, short passes, crossing routes, timing patterns, things like that, where our linebackers are going to have to step it up, man. They're going to have to play to a new level. And Trey Edmonds and Star Lotulelei are going to have to stop the run almost independently.
Yep.
No matter what anybody else does, they are the guys.
Yeah. You know? And we have to come into this game and establish dominance.
On the line.
To be the bully of this game. Because you know New England's going to come in and test us.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to want to see, are we the Bills that showed up against Jacksonville? Or are we the Bills that showed up against the Saints or the Jets
or anybody else
or Houston
or,
you know, teams that we've rolled over?
Right.
They're going to test us and to see, can we play physical? Because they're going to play physical.
Yeah. And their most impressive win happened to come this past week
mm-hmm.
against Tennessee. I mean, they have a lot of the same schedule. They beat Houston. They beat the Jets. They, you know what I mean? Lost to Miami. But a lot of the schedule is very similar. So
very similar.
They beat a lot of bad teams. They beat Cleveland, but Cleveland was really hurt, really injured. They, you know, I don't know if Nick Chubb was even playing at that point. Like, it's really hard to remember all those games, but in backtracking through, they just barely beat the Chargers.
Barely, yeah.
You know what I mean? And there was another game I was looking at, too, that was less than impressive. It seemed like they should have won by more. But lately, they've been playing really well.
Even against the Titans, though. I mean, the Titans ran all over them.
Yeah.
All over them.
That's amazing. You know?
And I mean, that's got to show Buffalo a little. I mean, not that we're going to run the ball for 30 times on this team.
If we have to, we will.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I just highly doubt that will happen. Too. But I think that the opportunity to move the ball on the ground is going to be there 100%.
Yep.
You know? Yep. And obviously, they're going to try to run on us, like you said. We got to establish the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball this week because it's going to be a dogfight, man.
Yeah, and we got to be angry, man. I really hope. I mean, that's what I hope to see. I don't even mind if somebody does take a – and I don't want anybody getting hurt, but like a roughing the passer or, you know – picking somebody up and slamming them down the ground as a tackle, not again to hurt anybody, but just to show them a physical side. I just want to see a physical side.
Play
I want to
see backyard ball.
Yeah, exactly. I want to get. Yeah, I want to see angry man. I want to see Spencer Brown just roll somebody.
And that's something that I was going to bring up is I think that this is a sort of a mental game for us because you know there's so much on the line. Like we talked about, divisional game, our rival. We lost Trey White. We're going to rely on guys to what we talked about, not try and push it under the rug and pretend it didn't happen and say it's all good. It's just one game. It's you know, whatever.
Right.
Just get fired up. People who are leaders like Poyer, like Josh Allen, you know, step up, get these guys fired up before the game.
Yeah. Diggs, Beasley, you name it, man. Even like Mitch Morse.
We have I'd a lot of leaders
Mitch
on
Morse
our team.
Get into somebody's ass on the offensive line when they screw up.
You know? I know. Yep.
He's the veteran, man. He's the center of the offensive line. Feel free to get pissed off.
You got to.
You know, tell somebody they're doing it wrong, whatever. Show them whatever you got to do, but get angry, man. Get upset. I want to see these guys fired up to win a football game.
And maybe that was, you know, I didn't even think about this till now, but what happened with Isaiah McKenzie may have been, you know, Sean McDermott coming to terms with exactly what we were talking about, that we need to fucking get angry.
Right.
He got angry and did something.
Right.
Instead of just standing around clapping and pretending like it's all sunshine and rainbows, punish them.
Right, right. Yeah, make them accountable. I mean, everybody needs to be accountable on every single play. Every single down is important in one way or another, be it first and 10 or, you know, fourth and two. Everyone is just as important as another, and they need your best effort on every single play.
Yeah, 100%. I agree.
And you played the game, you know.
No, yeah. Yeah, You got to go into a game and you got to establish some sort of bully, dominant, you know, you're the physical team, you know, you got to make the opposing team think twice about the way they're going to attack you, whether it's, you know, at the line of scrimmage, going across the middle, whatever it is, you know.
Right.
You just got to let them know that. You're not going to be the softer of the two teams, you know.
Yeah, and Spencer Brown's one of those guys that could lead the charge in that regard. He's a big, strong, physical dude, as are a couple of our guys on the defensive.
Glad to have him in star back.
Yeah, for sure.
This game would have been impossible without them. I think
it would have been. It would have been that much harder for sure.
It would have been tough. I mean, it's tough to lose starters, but when you're losing guys like that really established line of scrimmage, you know, and I'm a firm believer the games are won and lost at the line of scrimmage.
We've talked about it a dozen times at least.
It really is.
Definitely is the key.
You just, I mean, the Patriots made moves this past offseason, getting guys like Judon and stuff to establish the line of scrimmage.
$100 million in free agents or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so they know what they want to do. And if you don't think the Patriots made certain moves because of who we are, the Bills.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, you're crazy because they knew what they were going up against and what we established in the last 3-4 years. So
yeah, we spent 20 years chasing them. It only makes sense that they're going to do the exact same thing when the tide turns, for
right,
sure.
Right. So I mean, it's a game that's going to be a great game. I'll be there too. So that's,
yeah, man.
It's going to be my 40th birthday game.
Congrats, dude.
So
and you're going to get rained on and snowed on and
I hope it doesn't rain, man. Yeah, Judon. It better not rain, dude. I've been in two games already that it's been raining all over me.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Can we get done with this, please?
I know. And they argue about whether we should have a dome or not. Like, I mean, like I say, the only thing is, in my opinion, it does seem like Josh Allen plays best in the best weather.
Oh,
but
sure.
The team needs to be able to perform in all weather. So,
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you're going to play your best in good weather.
We got to do the dome with the bingo wings so that the fans are protected and the snow can fall on the field.
Yeah, there you go. That's what they're talking about. Yeah,
those are cool.
An option.
Those are kind of neat.
That's a good idea.
I think those are kind of neat where it protects you pretty much all the way up to the what is it? I think it's like, so you got your 100 levels, and I think it covers all the way up to like the first, like, 50 rows, and then after that you're exposed,
right?
Which is, I mean, you're still outside in the elements for fans, but if it's raining and snowing, you're most likely pretty good.
Yeah,
the snow is so lightweight you could get a drift and it could pretty much get everybody anyway, but the rain in the wintertime,
that's where it's shitty.
Yeah,
that's where it sucks.
Shitty, shitty, shitty.
Yeah, especially if it's 28-29 degrees raining on you.
Dude, that no, well, I told you that one preseason game I went to, it was like in the 30s in rain and wind. And it's like, it was the worst. I mean, the absolute worst. Now, it might have been, it could have been nails.
If we did get one of those kind of,
like it.
If we did get one of those kind of clamshell domes, does that help with the wind at all?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It changed. Yeah, it definitely changes it.
Yeah. I mean, that would be very nice.
Yeah.
Just to be more consistent in that regard. The snow can throw people off anyway. You don't need the wind.
And if they do it right, they can always park a blimp in the middle and cover the whole freaking thing.
There you go.
Yeah, just pull. Just
put a cork in the top.
What about a like a retractable dome?
See, I'm fine with that.
So you close it when it's shitty and then you open it when it's nice.
I mean the crazy but then part what's is.
What's the advantage for Buffalo then?
I know, right?
Well, because you have that option, I guess, right? Like if you're playing Arizona, man, let's pop the dome open and play a foot of snow.
You're playing New England, let's just leave it shut.
Yeah, right. Or Green Bay or whatever.
Yeah, that wouldn't matter.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's funny. They talk about spending an extra $1 billion or whatever to move it downtown. Nobody wants to spend an extra $500 million to put a dome on it.
I know.
That's... I'd rather do that.
I mean, at the end of the day, if we had the option to put a dome on or not put a dome on and have it in Buffalo, put a dome on it, man. It's,
right.
I don't want it in Buffalo.
Yeah. I mean.
I just don't.
Yeah.
It's just too.
Leave it the way it is, where it is, and give away $1.2 billion in free beer.
Yeah, that would be good.
Leave it the fuck alone.
Yeah. Anybody who's had like season tickets for 10 years gets free beer.
Or how about season tickets at all?
Yeah.
You get two beers a game.
Yeah, no kidding.
Until we run out of money.
Yeah, and I'm not a big fan of those PSLs either, man.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's... Just don't want that to happen.
You know...
Dude, when you were... Like, I don't know anything about this shit. I was talking to Jake. He was explaining how those things work. It just sounds so scummy to me.
It's tough. It's just... It just puts you into a bind.
Pick up a couple of bucks.
You have one bad year, now you got to buy the stupid thing all over again.
You do. And you're just... You're... When we get a new stadium at some point, you know, for me, the way that makes it affordable for me right now, too, because, I mean, I could easily sit, you know, in the 300s or, you know, in the Rock Pile or, you know, somewhere where it's not really crazy expensive. But we chose to take club seats and we split them with two other guys and it makes it more affordable. If we did the exact same thing in the new stadium, it would price us out.
Right.
It just,
right.
I know.
Definitely for the first year. Yeah, for sure. Because it's a one-time deal, right? So for the first year. But like you said, already the ticket prices are going to double in a new stadium.
Oh, yeah, easy.
And then you add $1,000 a seat for.
Yeah, I'm paying like $915 for my seats.
Right.
For four games.
And somebody we mentioned on here a lot, Dave Jr. I don't know if we ever really explained who that is. He's our boss, owner of our business, Springle Door and Window, that we work at. And, he was like, well, you have season tickets for 10 years. It's only $100 a year. Who gives a shit? And it's like, well, how do you know that? How do you know that you're going to have season tickets for 10 years?
Right.
You could have them for 1 year.
Well, the funny thing is it going to force teams like, let's say Detroit or where the Bills were for 17 seasons, is it going to force people out just because, I'm not going to spend the extra grand to get season tickets when this team is winning half a dozen games every other year? You know what I mean? Like, who's going to spend the extra money? Unless you already have the season tickets, now you're really in a bind. I mean, they kind of got you. Because now you're going to go, the last three seasons I haven't had a winning record, but maybe they will this year, so I guess I'll get season tickets one more time since I already have the PSL.
Yeah, I think timing was everything with this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, timing's huge.
Teams on top, rebuild the stadium, and get those things sold real fast.
Yeah, you got to build a stadium when you have a winning product. That's the only way it's going to work. Because if you try to build a new stadium, and this was, 15 years ago when – we're winning, six games a year.
We're hoping for a 500 record.
Nobody's buying season tickets. And this stadium is going to be 65,000 people in it. And they want to make sure that entire stadium is season ticket holders.
Right.
They don't want to say, well, we'll sell about 45,000 and then we'll leave the rest for single game tickets. Nope. That's not what the NFL is moving towards anymore. They want these stadiums completely sold out by season ticket holders. And then us as season ticket holders.
Yeah, the burden's on you to let other people come.
Exactly.
Right. And sublet your tickets.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it takes away a lot of the overhead of them having to dick with all that stuff.
It does.
Yeah.
Just get them sold at the beginning and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, every year you're going to have a turnover of X amount of people, maybe a couple thousand people or whatever like that, and that's it.
And that's obviously the point, in case anybody didn't pick up on that, of that license, is they're incentivizing you to buy season tickets and hold them forever.
Right.
So no turnover. Nobody else ever gets that seat again.
Yeah, but people die.
But they know it's not going to happen.
Turnover. Yeah.
Well, they're trying.
Right.
Because you don't want to spend that $1,000 every year, so you're not going to do it unless you can actually keep it. They're essentially, you know, gating that to people who can't afford season tickets and, you know, might not be able to keep them for long.
Yeah.
You know,
and it turns
only the wealthy may apply to an extent.
Yeah, and that stinks because the stadium then turns into a bunch of fans coming in from other teams. You know, like teams that travel well, like Green Bay, like Pittsburgh.
Do you think they'll sell them to people out of state?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, as an aftermarket,
to me, that's sort of garbage.
It is, but dude, it happened when we were not winning too. You would go to
that would be people from Canada.
Well, you would go to these games.
If we weren't winning, I could totally understand them doing it out of desperation. But right now, when obviously you've got more than enough people willing to come, I would probably maybe offer up like 15,000 seats to people out of state and let everyone else, you know, even if they don't sell them out, leave them open for local fans.
Yeah, I agree with you.
On a game-to-game basis.
Right.
The thing that happens, especially when you get people that are nabbing up all these season tickets, that people are they have money. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, they don't care if they go to a bunch of games. They want to sell them off and make more money, so they're going to sell them to the highest bidders, which are typically going to be teams coming in from the away teams.
Right.
The away teams are going to want to fill up your stadium.
Like you said, teams that travel well, that are doing well. You know, if the Bills are winning, probably not. You're not going to be quite as many because nobody wants to watch their team go on the road to watch them lose. But
it that's how it was in the 90s.
Right.
You know, and my uncle talks about it all the time because he was a season ticket holder in the 90s. And he was like, our stadium was never not full of just, it was always Bills fans.
Like you said, Pittsburgh, all Cleveland, Tennessee. There's so many different teams that could travel. It's not that far.
There is,
they can do it.
But it's just,
I think it's 11 hours to Baltimore. You know?
Right, yeah.
It's not that bad.
It's not. But yeah, I just, it's going to be a weird time when this new stadium comes to fruition, and I don't know if I'm looking forward to it or not, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so, I don't know either. I don't know. We'll see how it all shakes out. Right now, it's just
there's really nothing about the process currently that I would need to change that badly. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's exciting, the thought of having a new stadium, but there's just so many little things hidden behind that in the shadows that you go, is this a good idea? Am I going to pay 40% more for beer? Am I going to, have to drive downtown in fucking horrible traffic to get there and not get home until 2 a.m? Like there's a lot of questions.
Well, we have a certain amount of fear that it basically is to remove the lower middle class from the stadium.
It's exactly.
And maybe that's the not point. The intent, but I think that's probably very likely to happen. Like, you know, a lot of people, if you take baseball, for example, a lot of people, they go to 2 baseball games a year. They grab their young 4 or 5-year-old kid. It's kids' day at the ballpark, and they got discounted tickets, and they go. Like, that's not going to happen for the NFL anymore.
Yeah, and when they built this stadium, they may have made the decision to put it in a place that was good for the people, good for the fans, easy to get to, whatever. That's not what they're going to do this time. They're going to put it in the place where they make the most money, and they don't really give a crap about anything else anymore.
Right. Yeah, I want to take my young son to a football game. Honey, do you mind if I, you know, take $800 and buy a couple of tickets? Like,
yeah.
And you know, with food and parking and everything else.
And there's a lot of factors. There's, you know, the fact that whatever spot they put it in is going to explode in popularity. The restaurants are going to do better. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff going on of people who, you know, could make a lot of money off of this.
Bisons will probably do better.
Yeah, it's hard
because at least you can afford to go to a ball game.
Yeah,
yeah. It's hard to believe that. And I know now Terry and Kim Pegula are saying, "No, we want to keep an Orchard Park." But do they really want to keep an Orchard Park? Because, I mean, what they've done downtown has been, you know, a big change, and downtown's built up a lot, and it almost feels like they're making it for that.
Yeah, they're here for real estate. They're here for the city.
Right,
they're not necessarily just here for the stadium.
Yeah, no. And that's not that we're not grateful.
We really are.
Our team is still in the city, in Buffalo, be it Orchard Park. So we will eternally be grateful for that portion of it. But at the same time, it's a working class game that seems to be moving away from the working class. You know what I mean?
I mean,
it always has been a working class game, but it doesn't feel like it anymore.
And this is one of those things that we've talked about a little bit that I kind of think is an undercapitalized thing would be if you do that with the stadium. You put it somewhere where not everyone can go. Maybe open up like a secondary location with like some really big screens and some like,
right,
you know, seats or something.
I thought
of that too. Like almost like a theater experience to just get people a cheaper way to watch the game in a crowd, have fun, tailgate, whatever.
Yeah, because you're still, that's part of it, right? Like is the social experience, you know, of being with other people. Yeah,
that's why tailgating is so important to a lot of the fan base, especially someone like me is, you know, you take it downtown, you're not really going to be able to tailgate. Yes, you can park your car and maybe pull out a grill and, you know, throw some hot dogs on and, you know,
maybe
throw a ball around a little bit. And that's about it.
Yeah. And you're not going to have 30 people with their yards open and signs up to come park there. You're going to be parking where they want you to park or you're not going to drive there.
Yeah,
right.
It is. And in the thing with what our fan base is been built on the tailgate experience, right? I mean, the one thing that people really, really like doing is going to the game, getting there early and tailgating and having fun before you go into the game. It's like a college atmosphere almost.
And it's the least expensive of the experience.
It is.
Right? You're paying for parking anyway, no matter what. But now you get to bring a grill. You get to bring your own food and drink and you know, mingle with other people, even opponents, fans. And, you know what I mean? It is extends the game an extra 3 or 4 hours that you didn't always get, you know, in any other environment. It's not like they go to baseball games and tailgate. You know what I mean? So it's very unique.
Yeah, the tailgate is super unique. I mean, you don't get guys like Pinto Ron.
Some people in the country are not aware what that's like. I mean, they've never had a stadium they could do it at or a team that really thrived on that atmosphere.
Yeah. No, not at all. And
it's special.
Yeah.
And the Buffalo is crazy special because we have crazy people.
Yeah, we got some special people out there.
We do.
We do.
Like, and it's awesome.
Like Pinto Ron. Have you guys ever experienced
him? Yeah, for
sure. I mean, that's one of the most coolest, unique things of a tailgate that I've ever seen anywhere.
Yep.
You know? Yep. I mean, a guy that has a Pinto that he turned into a grill.
Yeah.
You know, cooking food on it. And then, you know, before the game, he gets the classic sprayed with ketchup and mustard all over him.
Yep.
I mean, it's just unique stuff, that, you know, and that's just that like little section of the lot. You could walk all over the place. You could park your car and not tailgate and just walk around and kind of crash into other people's tailgates. And that alone is a crazy experience.
I don't really know how to describe it the best way, but it's almost like the best thing of like an old school state fair or
I was just
something
say,
like that.
It's very similar to a fair.
Yeah. It's like something you get to do almost like our auction here in Springville. Anyone who's familiar with it, it's something that draws in people from all around, even out of state. And you know, you just get to have that experience of a community and our community happens to be quite large and widespread.
Right.
We need a place to gather.
That's exactly it. That's exactly what it is. It's an opportunity to expand beyond just the game. And I've done it a million times, man. Not a million times. Done it enough times to know it's a blast. You know, local radio stations. Not a million years. But
I've done it quite a bit myself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I started going when I was 9, 10.
Right.
Probably 9, 10, roughly right in that area.
97 Rock used to have an awesome setup.
They still do.
Yeah, I mean
they have live bands, dude.
Yeah, I mean it's just different. It's just special.
Right in front of the Big Tree Inn every week, they have a live band.
No kidding.
Live band just jamming.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and that's just one little section. I mean,
and that's one of the radio stations, local radio stations, who put forth an effort to make it a better experience, and it's very unique. It's awesome.
They got all inclusive tailgates all over the place where you can, you know, pay and be a part of a tailgate. Like,
yeah,
there's so much stuff. I mean, it's such an experience, and the fact that if that could be gone, I mean, that would just crush.
That would be horrible. That would be horrible.
I hope that the people who are in charge of making these decisions know what they have and know not to throw away. I mean, I'm going to sound like an old man, but not to throw away the past when they build the new stadium.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we are kind of an old school team to an extent.
The way
that we jam out.
The history, you know, everybody knows. Well, everybody who knows Buffalo knows Ralph Wilson and the history of what he did early on when it was the AFL and NFL in the merger, and he helped finance the Raiders when they were in trouble. Like, he worked his ass off to make this a thing. And again, we're fortunate that we had him at the time to keep it in Buffalo. He worked hard for that. He loved the city. He loved the team. And so far, we've been lucky. So, yes, I understand. Make it better, bigger, whatever you got to do. But as best as you can, try to make it affordable for your middle class that have worked so hard to support you for 60 years.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a situation where it's like I got to save up for 5 years so I could go to a Bills game that's
right.
Not a divisional game and nobody gives a shit about the opponent. Like, I mean, we can do better.
Yep.
Yeah, and people, maybe there's, you know, it's been a long time, but maybe it just put a sour taste in a lot of people's mouth when Ralph moved it from downtown War Memorial to Orchard Park.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, could be. I mean, at the time, again, it was a new stadium.
Right.
You know,
but moving it from, you know, the city, I mean, I don't know. But do you think that could have really peed some people off?
I'm sure.
Probably could.
But I don't know if it was a majority or not. I don't know.
I bet it was kind of 50-50.
Yeah.
You know, some people it was a blessing because they didn't have the, you know, the craziness anymore. And maybe some businesses got hurt by all that traffic. Who knows?
But
there were certainly some bars and things like that that probably suffered.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if we moved it from Orchard Park, you're killing a community. Because the restaurants that are around, you know, that hurts them. I mean,
right.
Just to think of, like, the lot we park in is just a house lot. But he's probably fitting, it's got to be close to 100 cars or so.
Wow.
In his lot, because those lots go really deep back.
Right,
and
right.
They're charging 25 or 30 bucks a car.
Right.
So you're talking 8 games, you're talking, you know, $3,000, you know, per game roughly.
Right.
You know, you're talking over $20,000 just to have someone parking in your
helps
yard.
Helps pay the taxes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So just stuff like that. It just, you know, you just don't want to see, you know, stuff go down like that.
I wonder if anyone would have any idea of the economical impact, because Orchard Park is like a fairly upper middle class area.
Mm-hmm.
Now you take the stadium away and maybe it's like, oh, well, I'm going to enjoy my home so much more without all those fucking people around. You know, but maybe the home values go down and maybe, like you said, the restaurants suffer and there's not as many people coming from, you know, out of town anymore. And
well, who cares
Orchard
about
Park
the
just fucking dies.
Yeah. Yeah. Who cares about the Big Tree Inn if there's no football there?
Yeah.
Because right.
That's how many people need to go to Orchard Park.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the Big Tree Inn is the Big Tree Inn because players, I mean, I've gone there countless times after games and then ran into Reuben Brown and Gabe Northern and, you know, Daryl Talley's been there and Jim Kelly. And there's a statue, for God's sakes, outside the Big Tree Inn of Jim Kelly and Berman from ESPN.
Oh, yeah, Chris Berman. Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah, that matters, man.
You take that away and you know, yeah, maybe the Big Tree holds on to like, oh, you know, we were part of this history, but after a while, people are just gonna forget it. Like, who cares?
Yep.
Danny South, same thing, man.
Yep.
I mean, you walk into Danny South. I don't know if you guys have been in there.
No.
It is just loaded with Bills garb everywhere, like history upon history. It's you walk in there and you just feel like, wow, this place has been here, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't help thinking that whatever they do downtown, I mean, logistically, that's a lot of cars you're going to be moving still. You know, at Orchard Park, I know it can be a pain in the ass to get out of there because you've got all morning to bring in all the cars. And then as soon as the game's over, everybody's heading for the door. But
is it going to be any different?
I don't know if it'd be any different or any better. I don't know.
It would be worse. I mean, I don't know how you're going to open
depending
up that
where
much.
It is. I don't. Yeah. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah. We need to start tearing buildings down. Like, how do you?
I don't know. Yeah, yeah, to get people out of there. Plus, I mean, just to get, like, if you guys been downtown for a Sabres game, if that place is sold out, it's 15,000-18,000 people.
Right.
And you can't move to get out of there for a good hour.
Right.
From that, dude.
Yeah, we went down to KeyBank or whatever the fuck it's called now and watched Gabriel Iglesias. And we went there again to see Jeff Dunham. And we went there for Christmas Bash. I can tell you what, it was a fucking nightmare every single time.
Every time.
I mean, the Bills, it's, you know, you're waiting in line. But, like, the actual stress of it is very small. You're just getting out, getting on the 219, and going home. Mm-hmm. You know, it might take a little bit, but that's it. Like, you know, in downtown, you know, it's just it's going to be so hectic and
yep.
there's going to be traffic cops everywhere. And
everywhere.
I hate it.
You got to find your way to the 90. Once you get to the 90 is going to be backed up because,
right.
because
everybody's
if there's construction or anything shut down, you got to go around and it's just going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, it's just not fun.
You got the Peace Bridge like a lot of people from Canada are on the 90. So ugh. Like, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah. there's already enough traffic in that area as it is without
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, you're making me stressed just thinking about it.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know. Beyond the fact it's that much farther from Springville to begin with, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, you don't want to think from that perspective because there's a lot of people everywhere.
But I understand.
Yeah. There's enough people coming from out of Buffalo to watch a game.
I will be the first to admit that I always think about myself first.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry.
Well, I think about that, too.
It's in my nature.
Yeah.
Like, how it affects me comes first. Then I'll think about everybody else, too.
But we have to pretend it's a podcast.
That's true.
We care about our listeners.
Correct.
We sure do.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think we're about wrapping it up time, huh?
I think so. Yeah, we really need a huge effort this week, man. This is a big one.
You know, I think I'm going to have to start introducing myself when we do these podcasts because I'm talking,
nice.
So damn much. I think I've actually become a host almost.
I think you have.
Yeah, you got to
I think you always have, yourself. Ben. We just never really admitted it.
I think so.
Yeah, you got to start doing it.
Well, we can't. This is Jason Webster, by the way, is the one we're talking about.
Yeah, and I think like, you know, 40 episodes ago, I mentioned that Jeff is my father.
Yeah, we'll have to get your introduction.
I think so.
You know, more prevalent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get my business card up to date, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
There we go.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's not leave the podcast until we do our scores, though.
Oh, we do need to do that, although it's getting embarrassing. I'm not sure I want to keep going.
I don't know. Last week I said 31-13, and we won 31-6, so...
Shut the fuck up, Jake.
You owe me
won't stop.
I think you guys have to order me a large pizza or something for that.
Do we get to eat
that? That would be nice. I was going to say, as long as we get to share it.
As long as we get to eat pizza,
Yeah, you just got to pay for it.
I might be up for that. Tuesday is cheap pizza day at Crosby's, man.
There it is.
We missed it.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right, so I'll start it off. I'm obviously going to pick the Bills to win because I truly think they're going to win. I just think it's going to be a close game. I think everybody should think it's going to be a fairly close game. And it's a tough one to pick score-wise, but I'm going to go with a score of 27-21 Buffalo.
27-21.
I will say 24-20 Buffalo.
Ooh. That's closer to what I've been hearing.
Yeah.
I've been hearing about how it's the top two defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, it's going to be a low score.
So it's going to be a low score, which is why.
You would think, but sometimes you know how that goes.
In honor of Jake's birthday, I think the Bills are going to score 40 points.
Nice.
And I think New England is going to score 24.
Ooh. If that's the score, Jeff.
That's for you, dude.
That would be.
This is karma. This is 40, to make sure.
40 for how old you are and 24 for how old you used to be.
I did.
There was a time you were 24.
I was. That's true.
Yeah, God, I almost think I was too. I'm not positive, though. I'm not going to admit to anything.
Nobody remembers that.
That's true.
All right, guys. So, I'll just end my session here saying I really, really, really want this game bad.
Me too.
I really do. I mean, I just want the Bills to come in.
I want this to happen for you.
Yeah. We need this game. We do need this game big time
to
stay in this hunt. So,
yeah, I don't think emotionally I can handle it if we, you know, get shut out or something horrible. Like, I just can't even imagine it.
Yeah.
Let's at least just perform, you know?
Right. That's it.
Yep. All right.
All right, Jay, tell them how to listen to our podcast.
Well, you can find us on your favorite social media at ETD Buffalo. You can find us on Anchor or anywhere that you listen to your podcast, Spotify, Apple, whatever.
All right, guys, thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. We got the Bills Patriots Monday night coming up December 6th. So just want to end it with, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Go Bills.
Go Bills.